Back together again, you and I, Thursday, July 7th, 2022, on Connecticut Today. We welcome the Yankee Institute for Public Policy correspondent Mark Fitch to talk about the state's new high-tech online unemployment system. We also talked a bit about WNBA star Brittany Griner's continued detention in Russia, how it's playing out, and what it may mean down the road diplomatically. And if you're like me, maybe a bunch of you folks have also run into some speed bumps during your career, and you've been out of work, and you do qualify for unemployment compensation here in the state, and you've seen the system change year, well, not year after year, but every few years. The state has been trying to streamline things. I mean, I go all the way back to going to the office in Meriden and filling stuff out with a pen or pencil and paper, then having to talk face-to-face with somebody. Then we went to the telephone system and the online system, and now the state, voila, has a new online unemployment system. And Mark Fitch joins us. He, among other folks in the Hartford area and the state, has covered that. Mark from the Yankee Institute for Public Policy. You can read his stuff there. Go to InsideInvestigator.org, InsideInvestigator.org. Mark, it's Paul again, sir. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me on. It's good to be with you.
Mark, it's always good to hear your voice on the show here. All right, so give us the skinny here. The state, we have still maintained our snail's pace here, but we have upgraded this, I guess. So let's talk about this, and what are the supposed advantages going to be here, Mark, and how did this whole thing happen?
Yeah, so, just on the other day, the Department of Labor announced that it had finally completed the what they're calling the Re-Employ CT unemployment system. And basically what it is an online portal that combines three or four different systems that they were using to process unemployment into one online system. So you have one username, one password. You don't have to remember a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. And when you go in there, all your documentation should be there. It's supposed to transfer, if people are currently receiving unemployment, it's supposed to, transfer all their, old documents and filings and everything into this new system and hopefully make it easier for people to get their claims decided quickly and get the unemployment checks that they need to keep on going. This has been in the works for a while. It was supposed to be launched a couple of years ago, but when COVID hit, they kind of had to drop everything and process claims the old way, which was not going well. I don't know if you remember, but there was a backlog of, weeks, if not months, of people waiting. The Department of Labor had to hire a small army of people to, man the phones and get these claims processed. And they were able to cut down their wait times there towards the end of 2020, but it was pretty rough going at first. Hopefully with this new system, God forbid anything happens like that again, it'll at least be a little smoother.
Mark Fitch is the guest. Mark, hang on. We'll get more into this with you. Mark's latest story at InsideInvestigator.org. Hopefully this will work well. Connecticut launches new online unemployment system. More on this with Mark Fitch. First, though, traffic and weather together right here on the Sixes, 436 on WICC. And our monthly, once-a-month check-in with Mark Fitch, correspondent and writer at the Yankee Institute for Public Policy's Inside Investigator site, insideinvestigator.org. Connecticut launches new online unemployment system, and again, COVID-19 slowed this down. We all know that. But Mark, this is good. And you and I have talked about this before. The state has just waited for not just years, but decades here, Mark. And we've seen this, I think, in DMV and some other agencies where, I guess one thing Ned Lamont was big on, Mark, when he came in, is getting the state kind of up to speed. And we have these massive old computer systems that are based on decades old hardware and software, because it's not running graphics, it's not playing music or games, it's crunching numbers. So there has been a real slow go on upgrading a lot of this, hasn't there been?
Yeah. The DMV has And it was a rough start at first, but they updated their software system so that we can do a lot of things online now. It kind of cuts down on the wait times at the DMV. You add in, you know, this new Department of Labor re-employee CT system, which, you know, like any, you know, major software rollout is having a few bugs here and there. You know, I'm seeing complaints on, you know, Twitter and online of people who've been trying to sign on and not having success. And, you know, that it's going to happen. And those kinks get worked out in time. But you are right. I mean, Ned Lamont came into office saying that he wanted to start streamlining some of these processes. I mean, he even hired, you know, Boston Consulting Group to try to figure out how to streamline processes in, you know, all of state government, you know, in anticipation of a lot of state workers leaving or retiring. So this is part and parcel of that. And, you know, this dates back, you know, several years, but, you know, getting the state of Connecticut and its operations into the 21st century should be a priority for whoever's in office, because moving along at a snail's pace and doing things by paper, you know, we might be the land of steady habits, but we don't need to be doing this on parchment.
No.
And sending it via Pony Express.
With a quill and an inkwell, right? You don't think we should be doing that? No.
Oh. Exactly. Yeah. Anything that makes it a little cheaper and a little easier to get things done and more efficiently, I think is a plus for the people of Connecticut.
And Mark, you talked about there. You mentioned the thing that you and I talk about a lot, which is the state employee situation. And I guess, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I'm reading, this did not turn out to be the tsunami of, oh no, so many workers are leaving, the state can't function. That didn't happen, did it?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
I mean, one of the projections was, you know, upwards of like 8,000 could have left, and that didn't happen. We had about 4,400 retire so far this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they can still retire up, you know, till December. So, but 4,400 is a lot. I mean, we haven't seen a number that high in, I think, over a decade. I think the last time that it got anywhere near that was when Governor Roland was, you know, pretty much paying people to leave back in the 90s. So it is a big loss. And so I know they're saying, oh, it wasn't the tsunami we expected. Well, okay, but it was still a rather large wave. And, you know, one of the things, you know, obviously, you know, the state employee unions want, you know, people to be hired back on a person by person basis. I have no idea if that's going to happen. I know the state is hiring, but, you know, 4,400 people leaving is a pretty good chunk. I mean, you're talking, that's almost 10% of the state full-time workforce.
And the reason that they did this, Mark, is because obviously there were some incentives. I remember reading some of them on the air, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, that have to do with health care and medical coverage and things like that, right?
Yes. Yeah, so one of the biggest changes that came from the 2017 CBAC agreement between Dan Malloy and the State Employees Bargaining Agent Coalition was that after July 1st of this year, if you retired after July 1st, your cost of living adjustment for your pension was going to be different. You know, up until that point, you got a minimum 2%. It didn't matter what inflation was. If inflation was 1%, you still got 2%. If inflation was higher than that, you got even more.
Mm-hmm.
That changes all. That all changes now. And the cost of living adjustments are more closely tied to the rate of inflation. But, you know, at this point, with inflation being 8 or 9%, you know, it's kind of a wash. But for those who were able to retire, they were able to lock in essentially just escalating their pension payments every year, regardless of what inflation is. So, you know, it's, you know, people who could take advantage of it and wanted to, obviously, you know, took it. And those who wanted to stay on a little bit longer with, you know, the bonus incentive that, you know, the legislature gave them earlier this year, were able to keep that. So, I think that losing that sizable amount of your workforce might be a bit more painful than the governor is willing to admit. But,
okay.
you know, we'll see.
And finally, Mark, so is the functionality of the state threatened at all with, like you say, you know, 4,400 state workers out of about 40,000 and change, give or take? Are areas of the functionality of the state impacted to a great extent on this, to where people are worried or not?
If it is, they're not showing it. You know, I think that so far things seem to be moving as they usually do. I mean, some areas have always been notoriously understaffed. The state police are understaffed. I believe Department of Correction has some staffing issues. You know, there's different agencies where they're like, we don't have enough staff. Department of Labor, you know, constantly saying they don't have enough staff. But that's been ongoing. You know, that it probably exacerbated by this, but as far as, you know, having lower staffing levels, that's kind of par for the course. And one thing that you probably will see it contribute to is more overtime payments. So we've already seen overtime payments for state employees rising this year, you know, over last year's levels, because they have to fill the gaps. And, you know, especially in 24/7 jobs like DOC or state police or, you know, the state hospitals, they have to mandate people to stay. And that means you're going to be paying them time and a half or double time or whatever it happens to be. And I think that's where you'll see kind of a big effect.
Mark Fitch, thank you. Our monthly check-in, read Mark's stuff from the Yankee Institute at insideinvestigator.org, insideinvestigator.org. All right. Traffic and weather together. Mark, thank you. We'll check with you down the road. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
Appreciate it. You are hearing the news today here on WICC and all over the media about Brittany Griner, and you still may be a little vague as to what's going on here. Yeah, she's really tall and she plays basketball, but this has become kind of international pawn kind of game here between the U.S., the West, Russia, Vladimir Putin, and all this. And, you know, Brittany Griner earlier today pled guilty to some drug charges in Russia. They say now she could be sentenced to 10 years in prison. Now, this is all part of a game that's being played here. And, you know, I chuckled about this yesterday in talking about some of the comments that people are demanding, you know, Brittany Griner get out, you know, be sprung from Russia. And other people say the White House is dogging it. They're not doing anything because, of course, she is a minority woman who happens to be a lesbian. And, of course, that's the overriding thing here. When in doubt, bring up color, bring up race, bring up sexual orientation, because that's the ticket. That'll get people to understand it. No, 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 no. That's not what's going on here. This is all a big game. It's all a big fat game here. And obviously, through some way, the Russians, who knew, maybe they were scoping her out for a while. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it was an honest first catch when she was caught several months ago at an airport in Russia coming back in, and she had some sort of, you know, CBD concoction that she was vaping. I don't know whether it was, you know, cannabis oil or CBD oil, whether it had any intoxicants in it or not. But a lot of elite level athletes use cannabinoids. They smoke cannabis or they take THC or they use CBD to recover after games. They'd rather do that. Like a lot of guys in the NFL say, they'd rather do that than sit there and take, you know, pain medication. You know, but it's murder on your stomach. It's murder on your neural system. And maybe they just like to, you know, you've had NFL players say, hey, I just like to go get in a hot bath and smoke a little weed and I feel better in a few hours, you know. But however this happened, Brittany Griner, who, of course, was a standout at Baylor before she became a star of the WNBA, Brittany Griner was traveling back to Russia, and a lot of people don't understand this. She plays for a team over there. See, this is when people go headlong into a subject, and they start blathering stuff, and they don't understand the scenario there. A lot, you know, people say, wow, she's American, communist, she's playing in Russia. No, no, no. A lot of international basketball stars play in the Russian league. There's one or two women's leagues over there because women's basketball on the professional level is far more popular in Europe, areas of Europe and Russia and the Eastern Bloc, than it is over here. And a lot of our women players, including people you may recognize like Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi and all these people, they go and play in foreign leagues when the WNBA isn't in season because the WNBA doesn't pay anything. I shouldn't say they don't pay anything. But the stars in the WNBA make about $230,000 a year. That's it. $230,000 a year. You got guys in the NBA making $40, $45, $48 million a year. Now, that's what the market will bear. There are a lot of people who, for whatever reason, I'm not besmirching them or anybody who shows an interest in women's basketball, but you've got a lot of people who you couldn't pay to watch the WNBA. They just don't care. They don't hate women's basketball, but it's just not their cup of tea. So a lot of players, including Brittany Griner, go to South America. They go to the Middle East. They go to Eastern Europe. They go to Russia. They go to China. Australia, there are the women's pro leagues are far more popular, although the WNBA is getting better, far more popular than they are here. But, you know, it appears that she got caught with some sort of cannabis-based product going back there. And maybe this is where Vladimir Putin chose to drop in here, because let's make no mistake here. This is all Putin's doing. He knows what's going on in Ukraine. He's fomented that. And he says, now I have a pawn. And, you know, the reason that Brittany Griner, pled guilty today is because she was probably told, listen, plead guilty, don't say anything, and eventually you're going to get out. So this is all a show. Now, does it make it any less serious? You don't like to see Americans held at the behest of a foreign government. Of course not. But this is all a game because, you know, reading and rumor is this is another PR stunt that Vladimir Putin wants to win. And he apparently is trying to force the hand of America to release. I think we have some sort of Russian arms dealer or Russian drug dealer that the feds are holding or that was convicted here a while ago. So we'll see how this all plays out. But my God, please, can some people who have no idea what's going on, can they please just shut up about this? I mean, her coach and everybody else, well, you know, they're taking their time because she's black, she's gay, and she's a woman. Come on, is there any evidence of that? Do you think in this White House, in a Democratic administration, with Joe Biden, when he's awake for 2 or 3 hours a day, you think that they actually sit around in the White House and the State Department, honestly, and say, well, don't worry about Griner. She's a lesbian. She's black. And, and she's a woman, so we don't care. I mean, come on. Why do people say such idiocy? It's mind-boggling. You know, hopefully they get her out. But, you know, listen, could Putin drag this out for months and years? Yeah, he could. He could. Yeah, he very well could. And some people are saying, well, he's doing this now because, you know, the West is continuing to, you know, pile weapons into Ukraine. Maybe, but who knows? But you don't know how this guy thinks. So again, please, I know people are outraged, and I know her family wants her back, and I get this, and I understand this. But one of two things happened here. Let's not lose sight. One or two things happened here. Let's strip away everything her coach is saying. Let's strip away this, that, and the other. One of two things happened. One, either she was set up, and she's not saying that, but she probably can't. Maybe once she gets back here, she can say, listen, I never had any CBD products or marijuana liquid-based products in my bag. They dropped that in there. I never use. Okay, maybe. But I got to tell you this. If she did that of her own volition and thought she could get away with it, that ain't smart. That ain't smart. And again, I know she could be being set up. I get that. I understand that. I understand. And would it surprise me? No, not at all. It wouldn't surprise me in the least bit if she got set up, and we may find out about it weeks or months down the road. You know, when she comes back, I'm sure she'll be giving interviews. She'll be kissing the ground when she gets here, and that's fine. And that's fine. But if she knew, I mean, they had to be told. These leagues tell the players all the time, and they should have been told, listen, every marijuana item that you could possibly think of is banned in Russia. It just is. Is that right? I don't know. It's their system, not ours. So it's going to see how this shakes out. But again, please, I'm begging you, don't buy into the pablum. Well, they're taking their time because she's black, she's a woman, and she's gay. What an idiotic thing to say. With a Democratic administration? Now you're really... Now, boys and girls, now... You are really scraping the bottom here. These things take time. I'm sure there are what they call, you know what they call this? Back-channel talks. So you've got the U.S. on one side, you've got Russia on the other side, and then there's usually, you know how this works, right? There's a neutral country in the middle, usually, maybe not now. But you have Norway or Sweden, you know, some nice neutral country where there's a lot of snow and they can ski and ice fish and stuff like that. And they come along and they say, yeah, if you will help, yeah, you know. And everybody sounds like the chef on The Muppet Show. 203-333-9422. You like that, Erica? That old... Eric wasn't ready for that Muppet Show chef reference today.